Robinson. For Allen, it's a no. But he was thoughtful in his responses. But in his mind, he vote no.
His biggest check against it was...
wants more of a split.
Well, yeah.
Knowing they're going to play more games, yes, some may go to 18. Right. Knowing they're putting themselves in more danger, wants more of a split.
Right. Absolutely. So isn't it capped at like $250,000 if you play a 17th game?
Correct.
Well, what if I get paid $1 million a game because I've negotiated a great contract? You're going to tell me
a quarter.
I'm only going to get a quarter. No, that's a nonsense.
Like Khalil Mack will have to do that. Yes. But Graziano said that there's only 70 players in like 2022 who will be signed for more than that. So you're talking about dealing with a small of the NFLPA.
Of the group, right.
Yeah.
But we'll see how much pull they have.
You still just know what you guys have to do is you have to honor the same weekly salary. I mean, come on. That's
right.
That should be a no-brainer for the league.
Yeah.
Think about the money. How many of it? 70? 70 players?
70 players.
In 2020. So they could implement 17 games between 2021 and 2023. I heard today on Get Up that they're saying they're targeting really 2022. I think Jeff Saturday
said that would be the first year they do it.
Yeah, so he thinks they can't get it up and running until that.
So let's go 70 players at $1 million extra. That's $70 million. The league won't consent to that?
Yeah.
Just to make those guys whole?
Well, they didn't negotiate it in the NFLPA.
Well, that's why they're stupid.
Yes. Thank you as well to Jack O'Callaghan for Foddy, as Jack would say, 40-year anniversary tomorrow.
Can I say something about that, too?
Yeah, thanks to Merck and Midway Jeff Meller for helping out today. And Crosstalk's brought to you by Alpamonte Buick GMC. Shop online at BuickGMC.com or come in and visit in person 364 West Grand Ave in Elmhurst.
It's probably still in my top 10 to 15 teams of all time of, like, if you ask me my favorite with the Bulls and the 85 Bears and the 16 Cubs and all, on and on. Like, that 1980 U.S. Olympic men, like, I was at the age where it was just really getting into sports, and it was such a powerful moment at the time, and I replayed that game over and over and over again. And so when we saw Jack O'Callaghan at Chicago Cut recently, I still get giddy when I see a guy like Jack O'Callaghan.
Except when he's punching me in the back of my head.
He was. That's why I liked him even more.
He took you into the boards and everything was, you know.
That's right.
Two-minute penalty, at least a two-minute penalty. Instigator, too.
It was instigator.
Yeah. I thought, I brought this thing in today.
Freddie's old school.
This is the baseball prospectus. And the reason I got it here in not hardcover, but...
Should wear it under his jersey.
Instead of Kindle, because some people said in the Kindle it's hard to get around and find and everything.
I wouldn't think so.
But I thought Waddle and Sylvie would get the biggest kick out of this, because I bought it. I already told Jeff Meller about this.
Who's on the cover, by the way, Freddie, this year? Is that Jacob deGrom?
Yes, it is deGrom. So I get the book, and I usually never read the foreword to a book. So I'm just going to let Tommy. I just going to let Tommy tell you who. So here it is, baseball prospectus. Couldn't wait to get it. I get it. I open it up. I look who writes the forward.
Who wrote the forward?
Jason Benetti.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, and we have Jason on the show today.
Good for you. Tell him congratulations. He wrote the forward on the baseball prospectus.
You're way too hard on Jason.
Yeah, and I thought you guys reached a peace accord, and then now you're like going all in on him again.
Here, even in the forward. He's talking about...
Sucks math.
He's talking about two bookmarks, reading the end notes in full right when directed. Don't take any shortcuts. Have done it wrong. I mulled my options. Chuck the book into the toilet at LAX. Can't you just concentrate on one thing at a time?
You're way too hard on him.
I'm not hard on him. You are too hard on him.
And it had to ruin your whole baseball perspective.
Yeah, experience.
Actually, it's just a bit. I didn't read the whole thing.
I think you should throw it away.
I skipped to something that was more important.
It really is something like out of like all like the Gavin sort Lux of breakdowns. Feuds to have.
Yeah.
Like for you to have like a feud with Jason Benetti. Like I don't think Jason Benetti's got anybody else who's got a problem with him.
Listen, your goal is to just be stand out by yourself, being outstanding. You know, I'm on an island by myself on this one.
Yeah,
but as I've talked to enough other people,
you're comfortable. You're gonna be talking to a volleyball soon, Fred.
Sometimes they prefer baseball without the attempts at comedy from people that aren't funny.
See,
don't you? But he's even said that now that the Sox are better, they're gonna be talking more about each game,
which is good.
Okay, how much you want to put on that?
Well, I think, look, I want
to... How many times are we going to see the guy in the front row with a funny hat eating the cotton candy?
Well, what's wrong with that? That's the ballpark.
But Harry Carey made...
dead.
Well, but that, they made that famous.
Arnie Harrison, Harry Carey.
Not for every pitch, between every pitch.
It on every pitch.
You don't watch enough White Sox baseball.
Backwards.
I mean, really, Harry Carey was doing names backwards, and people were like, yeah, Harry, all right.
Freddie wasn't buying that poo.
Espresso, say.
Freddie's not buying that poo. He's not buying it. Okay?
Arnie used to show shots of the crowd, and it was like,
if
Freddie
wants to laugh, he'll go to the Chuckle Hut out in Schaumburg.
When Jason Benetti and Steve Stone are talking baseball, they're the second best broadcasting team in the town.
Oh, there you go. Second best in town. All right.
On TV.
He's goofing. Again. Yeah. I mean,
unbelievable.
Len and JD have fun.
I love Len and JD.
Too. He's talking about bands. Constantly. You know, Len talks about bands.
Len's really good.
Yeah, they're all good.
JD's great.
JD's good, too.
I probably like JD more because a lot of his references are my age. He references a lot of classic television stuff.
Right.
You know, he'll throw a Dick Van Dyke,
I was going to say leather helmets, black and white television.
Yeah,
who Dick needs Van Dyke reference?
Who needs face guards?
Donna, what was it?
Wagon Trails.
Name? Donna Petrie, right?
No, Laura.
Laura Petrie.
Yeah. Laura.
Yeah.
So Laura long Petrie. Ago. That was like in the 70s, basically, when I was a kid, or like let's say 1984 when I was 13, and someone would bring up like a reference from the 40s.
Oh, sure.
I mean, like...
The Honeymooners. That Doris Day is hot.
Back then, if they talked about the Honeymooners, you felt like it was a million years ago. You'd be like, what?
Well, they were still running on TV, and we didn't have a lot of television stations.
I bet you Dick Van Dyke.
So I did learn the Honeymooners. Who's watching Dick Van Dyke today?
I bet you it runs on like Nick TV. They watch it,
but there's 300 options.
I know, that's true.
I had to watch the Honeymooners because there were four other options.
People say, well, how do you know so many I Love Lucy episodes? Because that was
on, right?
Because I Love Lucy reruns were on every single day.
Fred Mertz was our hero.
Exactly. And that's what we watched. Even though I was
Gilligan's
a kid, it was 35
you watch a lot of Gilligan's
years old.
Island.
Oh, my God.
Every one of them. The biggest question.
Little Rascals.
I'm Marianne.
The Three Stooges.
My favorite.
Ginger Marianne. Who do you got?
I was more partial to Marianne.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Lovey.
I'm shocked. I would have pegged you as a ginger.
The ginger?
Yeah.
No, Marianne.
I am. I don't mean that in
Mrs.
any other
Howell,
way. But...
really. I mean,
oh, yeah. Mrs. Howell.
No, if you want to be honest, yeah. I like older women.
She figures out a little long, you get some of her money.
The sophistication was hard not to be attracted to.
Oh, was it?
Do you
though?
Think, like, if you went out on State Street with a tape recorder, not a tape recorder, see,
a phone,
I'm dating myself.
A real phone. Freddie, what'd you say?
And you ask people who are like in their 20s,
Marianne
hey,
Ginger.
No, or do you just say, do you know who Gilligan is?
Oh, man.
How many people walking down State Street today? I know.
You know what their answer would be?
Right, Chris?
You know what their answer would be? Vince Gilligan, the guy that did Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's what their answer would be.
I bet you but not see,
you know,
many.
You know, the funny thing is, like, the older people like me will watch newer stuff, but the younger people won't watch old stuff.
No.
Which is interesting. But in baseball, when we're watching baseball, what do we say every year?
Get off my lawn!
The age of the people that watch baseball
goes up by a year.
Exactly.
It's like
so
56.
You should. That's why I love Jim Deshays.
Oh.
No. Sorry. Jim Deshays' comments because we are still watching the game.
Of course.
We are watching the game, not just the highlights.
Speaking of baseball comments, what did you guys make of what Big Poppy had to say?
I don't like calling the whistleblower a snitch.
No.
I got to be honest.
Get his point, though? His point is yes, that it's good that the truth came out. But can you understand why a teammate would say, hey, if it bothered you that much, why didn't you mention it while you were benefiting from it?
No.
I guess I can understand it from the teammate's perspective.
Totally.
Because nobody would ever do that. Because you would not only take a beating in the media, you would take a physical beating in the locker room.
Yeah, but you benefited from it. You got a World Series share. You got a World Series ring. It wasn't so bad when you were, you know, when you were benefiting from it.
But the manager was against it, too, and he didn't say anything ever. So is that worse?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the manager didn't like it. He didn't stand up to it. And he never mentioned it.
Fires doesn't mention it,
or do we ever get this?
I think these are two conversations, because I don't blame Fires. I think that ultimately the truth is important, and I'm glad that it came out. By the same token, I can understand how a guy in a team environment would say, dude, if you were really that bothered by it, why didn't you mention it while it was taking place?
Maybe, what if he did tell his teammates to stop it and he didn't want them to do it? I mean, he's not Freddie's right. He's not going to go to the media.
No one's ever going to do that. Team sport, no one's ever going to do it.
Well, what is the right thing?
Do you have the example of that? Has there ever been precedent where a guy who was the whistleblower at the time didn't like it, stopped? Like, I've always said Jose Canseco, his motivation was not the good motivation. His motivation was because he was blackballed.
Right.
He wanted to expose everybody. Yeah. Oh, you're not going to hire me
because
you think I'm the roided guy? Well, Rafael Palmeiro, Mr. Good Guy, was doing it, and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. But there was no benefit to him.
But he was right.
Yes.
So is there anybody who ever stopped something right then just because it was the right thing to do?
I don't know.
Are we talking in sports or
in sports?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could figure something out.
But I don't know. I mean, that'd be a tough thing. Freddie's right. It is tough,
but taking the path that path is difficult to take regardless of when you take it.
The path is difficult to take even now, though.
Fires. Listen, my point is that I don't blame Fires for coming out and saying it. I'm not trying to besmirch the whistleblower in this case. I'm just telling you, I can understand in a team environment while somebody would say, well, why weren't you more bothered by what was going on when you were benefiting?
But in his defense...
Well, then why didn't he give back his share? Why didn't he give back his... I'm playing devil's advocate
maybe
here.
Maybe he has. Maybe he donated it. I don't know.
I haven't heard him respond to it.
Maybe he was telling him at the time, hey, I don't like this. Let's not do it. Tony Kemp, it sounds like, was one of the few saying,
He did. Because he didn't get there till September.
Right, and he goes, I don't want it. He goes, no, I don't like it.
He goes, forget that.
Well, there you go. There's your example.
But he didn't.
That's the thing. Yeah. He still benefited from it, not individually, but from a team standpoint. Yeah. It's going well for your team, but you know it's not right, sports or otherwise, when it's really tough to do that.
Yeah. Of course it is. There's no
these are your friends.
It's not easy on him now. There is no easy time for him to bring to light something that is going to change the course of people's legacy. And that's what has happened.
Now, he's not a hero either.
No, I would never term him as a hero.
I don't know. I think I might.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
A hero would have stopped it then, Fred. I mean, that's the hero. You don't let the bus run over a kid before you...
Right.
If you're Superman, you stop the bus.
I think Marcus Spears was talking about this on Get Up, and he was on with Desmond Howard and Tim Legler today, and I think his example was, you want to stop this, or you want to have an impact. As you're robbing a bank, you walk into the bank and say, hey, I'm with Desmond Howard, I'm Marcus Spears, and that's Tim Legler. We're here to rob your bank.
Yeah.
But he didn't. They all robbed a bank, and then he, once you left the bank,
the rest of them,
and then basically said, "Hey, we robbed a bank later."
The Lucroy sound was weird because Lucroy said that they had known for the last 2 years that this was going on.
It sounds like a lot of people.
And he said everybody in our division. He said we're in the American League West. He goes, we all knew that they were cheating.
Right.
Why didn't someone else come out and bring it and say it?
Giolito told you that in 2017 he knew he was being cheated against.
Yeah, he said people were telling him on Twitter.
But see, they always think, okay, they're cheating. Well, we're going to one up them. We're going to give a false sign. They're going to get the wrong one. Something like that.
This is what I want to know. If, in fact, it's happened elsewhere, first of all, are people going to be expecting the Red Sox to vacate their World Series if something comes out? And I'm surprised because the heat has been so intense on Bregman and Altuve and whoever. I don't know why the other guys aren't being pointed at, but if they know other teams are doing it, do you think they'd rat on them? Really? You want to ruin my reputation? Well, what about those guys in Minnesota or those guys in Tampa? I'm surprised there hasn't been more finger pointing.
Well, and you mentioned Altuve. I don't know about you guys, but I believe Correa, and I believe Altuve didn't take.
I believe in the buzzers, Fred.
There's no buzzer. There's no buzzer at all.
Buzzers.
Absolutely no buzzer.
Yeah. All right, nothing.
Do you believe in the buzzers?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No. Really?
I don't think so.
I don't. I do.
Yeah, no. I'm kind of a buzzer
guy. We're all in on the buzzers.
I've kind of gone back and forth on that, but I don't think so.
I just won the pennant. please don't expose my really bad tattoo.
Not only that, he went down into the dugout and into the clubhouse and then came back out.
You had a car run off a Chapman.
If I did that ball off a Chapman, I'd have taken my pants off and swung him around my head.
He didn't go downstairs for 2.5 minutes after he hit the home run. He circled the bases. They celebrated on the field. Then he went downstairs and changed his shirt.
It's very strange.
Because he didn't want his tattoo being seen.
We got to go. What's
always
up on the
tattoo being seen.
So if you want to weigh in on what we're talking about, obviously, we want to hear from your voice. 332-3776. But we'll hear from Waddles next, as he does not like what the NFL players are voting on. Does not like it one bit. Waddles sounds off next.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Mike and I have Odds Couple when Waddle and Sylvie are done. Freddie, have a great weekend. Thanks for sitting in, and we'll see you on Monday.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Happy Friday to everyone. The sun is out. The weekend is here.
Play that funky music, white boy.
Yeah, absolutely. Dance a little bit. Spring's coming, Waddle. Right around the corner.
Well, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
In 2 weekends, we move
sort of like true Bulls change. I'll believe it when I see it.
I got in on the Bulls money line yesterday at halftime, and they were plus 450, and I put $10 down on the Bulls. I thought for about 10 minutes that was a good bet, and then they turned into the same old Bulls.
They made a run.
Yeah.
It
made the second half more fun for me.
Yeah.
Like you say sometimes, $10, you got entertained.
Sure.
You had a chance to win almost 50 if they would have come back, and they've done that. But and Charlotte stinks, too. But we're not talking about the Bulls today.
No, thankfully.
No, no.
Thankfully.
I mean, Abdallah was there. He'll tell you about the empty seats later. But
his seat wasn't empty.
No.
My seat was full.
Who'd you take? You took the cousins?
I took my wife and my dad and my cousin's daughter.
Oh,
so
good.
It was my wife. And, my cousin's daughter is, and she loves basketball. She plays basketball, and she had the best time.
How many? 21,000 people is a sellout. How many people do you believe was in the arena?
It was half empty.
She may not. She must not be a fan of technically sound basketball if she enjoyed.
No,
herself,
I mean she
just liked the experience.
Yeah, she liked the experience. She had fun. Yeah.
If the Bulls front office put in the work that the Bulls entertainment department puts in, they'd be a championship contender.
Oh, they had an 8th grade girls basketball game at halftime, and that was more competitive.
Did you bet on that, too?
No.
I wish I could have. Yeah, I wish I could have bet on that.
Yeah. What are we betting on with the NFLPA here? So the
I bet yesterday that it wouldn't be signed. And I know that the Players Association Council is going to recommend to the full 32 crew that they say no. So my guess is they're going to have to go back to the bargaining table a little bit longer. So as is, I don't believe this thing passes. Which is not a surprise to me. There's so many things that aren't listed in this thing. Roster size. Did you guys see what the roster size is? We're going to go from 53 to 55, and on game day, we're going to go from 46 to 48. Are you serious? Really? That's what you're going to do? You're going to play another game, and the roster is going to go from 53 to 55, and on game day, you're going to go from 46 to 48.
It's pretty crazy.
If you've got 55
crazy, yeah.
guys, let them all dress.
Well, I don't understand why.
Okay,
I
mean, that's a problem
to save
for
money.
Me.
Yeah.
What's the spending floor? I didn't see that. Is there a floor? I mean, what is the minimum that everyone has to? I didn't see that. This whole thing with the $250,000 maximum for a 17th week of salary, if in fact the 17th game goes into effect, how does Allen Robinson not get the full amount that he would get in week 17 that he's getting in week 16? Why?
Right. We to put it in perspective, we were telling people about Robinson makes like almost $16 million a year, meaning that he gets like $1 million a game.
Well, let's just say for round numbers purposes that there's a player out there that makes $1 million a game.
Okay, fine.
So you're going to tell me that in week set, if you add the 17th game next year, I'm scheduled to make $16 million. I've had a great career, and over the course of my great career, I've been fortunate enough to negotiate this contract that pays me $16 million in 2020. And because we've changed the collective bargaining agreement, instead of 16 games, it's going to be 17 games. Okay, well, wouldn't your expectation be, I make $1 million a game, I'm going to make $1 million for the 17th game, but the NFLPA you know, or this collective bargaining agreement proposal says max is 250. How is that equitable? I get it. Only 70 guys are eligible for it out of 1,700. That doesn't make it equitable.
Right.
70 guys. Let's just call it $1 million.
I mean, why didn't they negotiate that
in? I have no idea.
Like the good point that the NFL people have been bringing up today, just to get you up to date on all this, is Jeff Saturday. We're going to play some Jeff Saturday in a bit. Jeff Saturday said, this seems like it just happened. This hasn't just happened. This has been like 10 months of negotiating. They've just kept it pretty hush-hush. And now it's being exposed. The players have known what they've been talking about and what they've been trying to push for, and the union felt they pushed them as far as they can go, and this is it. And they didn't negotiate that in or these other things.
Okay, let me also ask you, where's the protection against not playing a Thursday game after playing Sunday? Where's that in that
I hope that's an NFL scheduling issue that they use common sense on. Then now that you have two byes, that everybody come, you're going to try for the most part to have all teams coming off a Sunday bye, that team will be able to play the Thursday night game.
I'm going to subscribe or sign off to this based on what common sense should be. Well, common sense is the commissioner should have never had the power to be judge, jury, and executioner.
Right. They didn't want to fight for that.
But he did.
Right.
In the previous one.
We have some chatter. Wait, is this football chatter?
No, that's hockey. That's hockey chatter.
Oh, the trade deadline's coming
chatter.
Up.
Mr. Dangles on the message boards.
Don't tell me Brandon Saad is being traded to the Boston Bruins?
No, according to Darren...
What are you laughing about,
multiple people on the Twitter, the sources say that the Islanders have traded Ilya Sorokin's rights to Chicago. He's a goalie, is all you need to know.
Russian goaltender,
he's a
right?
Russian goaltender, which may pave the way for a trade of... one of the Blackhawks.
Listen, you know what? You put the pads on and go sit in the next for the final few games. It doesn't matter,
that's fine,
right?
I'll do that. I mean,
and
we
you
play
trade
hockey
the
chicken
other
upstairs.
Guys.
I can do that.
Yeah. Trade, you know, Leonard and Crawford, with no disrespect meant to how well they've played in a Blackhawks uniform. But right now, you could get something for them. So move them.
Yeah. So this guy has won, Waddle, the Gagarin Cup.
Who hasn't?
Can you name the Gagarin Cup?
It's a cup named after Mr. Gagarin.
The Gagarin Cup means earning
AAA hockey's best goalie.
Playoffs MVP in the KHL when he played with CSKA Moscow.
They're a soccer team,
oh, yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's only 24 years old.
No relation to Aaron Sorokin.
I think I did see Putin net like four in a period against him at one point, though.
What's that?
I said, I think I did see in an exhibition Putin put four in the basket against him.
He was letting him.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, that's what they do, I think.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Okay, thanks for the hockey
update. Yeah, so the Hawks have made a trade. So, that, I mean, I would think this is the start of a lot going on.
Dominoes are about to fall.
I think so. I mean, if they're trading for his rights from the Islanders, like you said, then they're going to trade one or maybe
I'm
both.
I mean,
if Leonard doesn't want to sign and they've approached him about signing long-term, trade him. And then if someone wants Crawford, trade him too and get stuff in the future. Now, what I don't know what they have to give up here. Do we know that? What do you think a Gagarin Cup winner would go for?
Let's hope he doesn't choke.
Ooh, we have more chatter. Whoa.
Thankfully.
Chatter on
perfectly
topic.
Timed because I didn't have the answer
now
to your question.
Football chatter?
Brad Biggs is saying, sources say the Bears are planning to release Prince Amukamara. Give the veteran a head start when it comes to finding a new team.
He was going to cost, what, $9 million against
them? $9 million. I don't love it. I thought Prince was a really good player for the Bears. I thought last year especially, and I know the interceptions were always the problem. You got some last year.
Where are you going to get the money to fix your offense?
Where are you going to get the money to pay for another corner? You know, I mean, it's easy.
So you draft a corner. You drafted one last year, didn't you? Maybe you sign one for less than $9 million. This wasn't easy. This one was easy to read that he was going to be a potential victim for being released because of his number. I mean, there are others.
Wow. The chatter. Lots of chatter on this Friday.
A lot of chatter. So, I mean, the chatter I think we're going to hear soon is that the Players Association has decided that they're not going to sign off on this proposal and that they'll continue to negotiate with the owners, which is what I would expect them to do. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see if we can get any. Didn't Prince do some shows for us, too? Do we have more chatter? I see fingers being pointed. What is going on here?
Adam Schefter saying.
Okay, football, you got to let it breathe.
Adam Schefter saying that not only are the Bears releasing Prince Amukamara, but Taylor Gabriel as well.
And you know what?
That was expected.
That one was, too.
And that, to me, will be no offense to Taylor Gabriel. That will be easier to replace. A third or fourth receiver who can run fast is easier to replace than a second corner who's pretty damn good.
Well, maybe they tried to renegotiate with Prince and he didn't want to renegotiate. $9 million on the other side of a corner that's making, what, $18 million for a team that's got $4 million in cap space and ranked 29th in yards per game and points per game? I mean, these are the unfortunate issues you face in the National Football League.
Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Taylor Gabriel's best game happen and then later he was diagnosed with a concussion from that game and he never played again?
In Washington.
For the Bears. Was it in Washington?
Well, that was his best game. He had three touchdowns.
Right, that's true. I thought there was a game earlier or later at home. Later in the year at home when he had a good game and caught a deep ball or something like that and the Bears won. And look at his numbers here.
Well, against the Redskins, didn't he? There was like a jet sweep that he got the concussion on.
That's that may have been
in the Redskins game.
But wasn't the last game he played, was it?
No, but it was a game that he had a great game, and I think he
played against the Giants. It was his last game played.
What were his numbers in the Giants game?
One catch for 19 yards.
Oh, so that's not the
he
game.
He played the Rams game. He played. He played until the game before Thanksgiving. It was the Sunday before
and
Thanksgiving.
And then he never played again, right?
Did not play again. Look, he was their own. I always thought Allen Robinson was a good deep threat. This is their version of a take the top off the defense kind of guy. I'm with you. I think you can find somebody like that. He contributed a lot, somewhat, but I don't think that this offense is going to take a huge step back. Not that they actually could without him.
688 yards in 2018 with a lot of catches, 67 catches. This year, the production dipped to 29 catches for 353.
There's other speculation that Cordarrelle Patterson may also candidate for being a either a release or a renegotiate guy.
Something that Danny and Meller read today about the salary cap stuff was about like all the money that the Bears have tied into, like guys who are like a third wide receiver or Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a nice player if you're good. You know what I mean? But when you really have to do salary cap work and you don't have a true starting tight end, but you have a guy you could put in the backfield and return kicks.
Think about this. Mac's getting paid a lot. Akeem's getting paid a lot. Eddie Goldman signed a big contract, and you're on the hook currently for $13 million plus for Floyd.
Yeah.
There has to be some movement.
All right, guys, we have chatter. It's lots of chatter. So the Hawks have obtained a 24-year-old goalie from Russia. The trade deadline is coming up on Monday. And then now the Bears have released Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel. And where do they go next? We'll talk about that with you next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
It's a sports-a-roo happening.
Yeah, right? Sports-a-roo happening here in the First Midwest Bank studio on this Friday. 312-332-3776. Couple of housekeeping bits, Waddle, before we get into a couple more things. That trade that the Hawks made, according to Darren Dreiger. Now, remember, Dreiger's one of the best when it comes to TSN. As Abdallah said, this is like Woj. He's like the Woj of TSN. And he was the one who broke the story that they've obtained Sorokin, the goaltender from Russia. He just tweeted out.
Nyet.
Yeah, that's what he should have done. That's good. Nyet. Very good by you. Very good. He says...
totally stupid.
Sorokin has not been traded. to Chicago, despite the fact his teammates and others in Moscow believed this to be the case. Chicago sources have confirmed no trade. My mistake.
Hey, listen, we're a society of forgiveness. I forgive him. He made a mistake. You want to bring me another goalie trade to talk about later in the 3 o'clock hour? I'm happy to do
so. Okay, so that's off in the meantime. So
no Russian goalie coming this direction.
No, not yet. Yeah, and Mark in Lake Forest really quick wanted to say that he wasn't that good. Right, Mark?
Oh, the guy's a funnel. Like, I'm a hockey player. And at least a sieve stops, like, some things, right?
I've never heard that. A funnel.
Oh, no, that's a total. I'm Canadian. I've let you boys before the golf outing.
Yeah. I got you, Mark. Okay.
Yeah, so
I think you and I were drinking out of a funnel at that golf tournament.
we might have been. What Cap was telling me I should slow down. Anyway, yeah, it's better. He's like my mom or something like that. I don't know. But at least a sieve stops something.
Right.
Funnels eventually just let everything they let them in. It's just a matter of time, right? And so I think he's the guy that got lit up by Vladimir Putin for like 8 or something like that.
Told ya!
Like, yeah. No, I looked it up while I was waiting. Like, this, you know, whether
shirtless.
It's even like a, well, yeah, no shit. Oh, part. Oh,
all right. We got to let you go. Right. Good. Next time, we'll just call Claude Beavers to break the story. Meller
exactly.
just texted us.
Of right? course.
But he's good with the officiating. Then the other story is Prince Amukamura cut by the Bears. Same with Taylor Gabriel. According to all the Bears beat writers like Fishbane, I saw Adam Johns have this too, that this is about $13.5 million in cap savings. According to Fishbane, only $3 million of dead money.
That's a huge amount compared to what they had available to them prior to this.
Lewis,
they're cash strapped.
Lewis in Westmont, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, man? A couple of things I want to say. First off is that game that you're talking about with Taylor Gabriel. I believe that happened against the Vikings week 3 or so. I know he had like a 70-yard touchdown. And,
right.
And then another touchdown. So it was an incredible game. I don't forget that because he won me the game in my fantasy football league. And secondly, I want to ask a favor of Waddle, man. I got this football that was signed by the 2007 Bears. It was gifted to my little brothers by their church.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, they didn't realize the blasphemy they were committing by playing with the freaking football.
Oh, no.
And so, a lot of the names are they're pretty much all gone. And I wanted to see if I pay shipping and everything, could Waddle be like, because he's one of my favorite Bears, you know, one of the toughest guys out there, not big or anything like that, but man, can he take a hit? Could you be the guy that signs my football, man?
Of course, Lewis. I will sign that football for you. I'd be happy to.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just send it to me.
I don't know how much I would appreciate it.
Come on down to the studio now.
I'll throw some 50-cent football cards in there with, 25-cent, I think, is what they're worth, signed football cards in there as well.
Oh, my God. That'd be awesome. Send it to the ESPN studio?
Yes. 190 North State Street, 7th floor. My attention. I'll get that in, signed, and send it out to you, Lewis.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Love you guys. Buddy.
There's Lewis.
I don't believe Gabriel played against the Vikings this year.
No, was it? There was a home game in there because I remember
New Orleans? Him
having a big game. He had a good game against the Chargers. He had a good game against Detroit at home. He had 4 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown.
Maybe it was the Detroit game. Maybe that's what it was.
That's what I'm thinking
home
of.
Game.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was because he did have a decent day.
So no more. Look, here's my fear. I don't fear that the Bears are going to. I don't think we're going to have a game next year where we say, oh my gosh, the Bears missed Taylor Gabriel. But what I'm fearful of is what we were talking in the break about. So now Ryan Pace, along with filling the holes that we've already talked about, the offensive line holes, the tight end hole, or holes, the quarterback situation, all that costs money. Now you're going to have to plug and play guys on this defense who they were good. They were very good, but they still weren't 2018 great. And now you have to replace someone at safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still because you can't overpay the guy playing next to Eddie Jackson. Now you're going to have to
Clinton Dix. He won't be here.
Whether it's Tolliver, whether it's the kid they got from Illinois State who played in the CFL. but you're going to have to plug and play some. The second corner position in today's NFL, the way they throw, is important. So who are you, who's replacing Danny Trevathan? Who? What if Kwiatkowski gets a good contract from somebody else? You can't afford to pay Kwiatkowski just to stay.
You're right, but I mean, these are decisions every general manager is going to have to make.
My point is, because they have so much to already fix, and now with additional holes to fill, you're going to fill them with probably average players, right?
Well, but you could argue that Prince Amukamara played in an average fashion last year at $9 million. So I can get two guys to play positions at the same. I can maybe get three guys. I can get three guys at $3 million apiece. I can get a third or fourth. He won't even be a third wide receiver. It'll be a fourth wide receiver. Okay, I got Allen Robinson at one. What else do I have? I've got Anthony Miller. Mm-hmm. Who else do I have as wide receivers? I mean, you can fill the Taylor Gabriel role for $3 or $4 million.
You've got Wims. You've got Ridley. Ridley, who they barely played.
You can find a way to find. You know, remember the guy they had in camp? They let him go, and then that guy was making several big plays for the Lions. Hall, I think, was. Yeah, you can find a guy to do that.
A speed guy, right.
I mean, I'm not telling you the kid they signed from Canada will be the guy that fills that spot. Kevin Tolliver is there. You drafted Duke Shelley.
Right.
At some point, these guys that you have playing backup roles have to step in.
This is from our guy, Bill Zimmerman, who works for Sirius. We saw him down at the Super Bowl. He says, the Prince Amukamara news was expected. The Bears have five cornerbacks on the roster now with Fuller, Screen, Tolliver, Robertson, and Shelley. I expect the sixth corner to be a really cheap low-end veteran or a drafted rookie.
Yes.
The Bears will try and save in the secondary so they can spend on offense.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, to me, this one was you didn't even have to read tea leaves. This one you knew was coming. And again, think about it. You're going to get Akeem Hicks back and healthy, hopefully.
Right.
Which means whoever's playing on the other side of Fuller is probably going to have to handle guarding a guy hopefully a couple clicks less.
Have they made a decision on Leonard Floyd? Is Leonard Floyd, I know they keep singing his praises, and Kyle Long was saying that he covers. He costs a lot of money for a guy who doesn't.
13 point something million dollars for 1 year.
And if he covers, fine, but you don't pay a guy to cover an outside linebacker who doesn't put the quarterback on the ground.
You either sign him to a team-friendly contract extension, which then will be more palatable from your salary cap perspective, or you decide to move on from him. You can't pay Leonard Floyd $13 million, in my opinion, for what you've seen from him recently on the if come that somehow, some way, eventually it's going to click. And oh, by the way, remember, Leonard's a little older than you would expect him to be for the number of years he has played, because when he came out of Georgia, he was either 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was older, yes.
So, I mean, he's not getting any younger.
Right.
You can't pay Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, and give $13 million to a guy whose sack total is going down year after year.
Yeah, if you want to weigh in on the Bears' moves today, Gabriel gone, so is Prince Amukamara. 312-332-3776. And then we're awaiting the news from the NFL PA on if their leaders from each team will approve this new CBA before it goes to a vote with all the players in the league. And are you a fan of 17 games? Do you like the 17-game schedule? 332-3776. We're also going to talk baseball today with Jason Benetti and Kyle Hendricks. So we'll get you some Sox and some Cubs info. All that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Test drive the 2020 Acura RDX with available super handling all-wheel drive today. Learn more at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Or Waddle, what do you got for us over there?
I just have a question for you. You posted a picture today of my old vehicle. When I came to Chicago, I think I was 23 years old, in the picture you showed. I just have a question somebody asked.
Oh, I know what it's. I bet you I know the question.
If Ryan Pace had seen me drive that car.
First round.
Where do you think he'd have selected
first
me?
Round.
Or do you think I would have. You think he would have let me be a free agent if he knew I drove the 84 Mercury Lynx with the grill in the back seat because it'd been cracked a few times?
You were Mitch Trubisky before Mitch
Trubisky. You watch your mouth. You stop that.
Do you think when it's
all. Did you see me play scout team quarterback?
Well, I know that. Do you think when it's all said and done that you will have a better career than Mitch Trubisky?
No, I don't.
Bears career, no.
Just joking. Yeah, no.
I don't know. I think that's a good thing.
No, he's been in the league, what, 3 years?
3 years.
He had plenty of time to turn things around.
Here?
I don't think
he's got plenty of time.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Bears do going forward with a lot of different things. I will echo what some of the guys who cover this team on a daily basis said. Both Taylor Gabriel and Prince Amukamara were they were true professionals, consummate pros in this league. They got they were productive. The Bears got some nice things out of them. They handled themselves with class, and they were solid pros. And I wish them well as a Bears fan. That, you know what, their time here was productive.
Right.
They were pros. They were good guys, and this is
Prince
the nature
was
of the
really
beast.
Good guy. The Fantastic Prince was on guy. This radio station a lot.
Yeah.
And, I thought, and he had a really good, like Dan Weider tweeted that, you know, from 17, 18, 19, he had an underrated run. A lot of people were critical
of him.
Don't
you remember when he came here, the knock on him was his resume that had very few interceptions on it. And I thought Prince Amukamara, I thought last year was probably a down year for him overall, but his time in Chicago in totality was a success, I think.
More chatter. Boy, you don't want to turn this thing off today.
More football.
According to Tom Pelissero, the NFLPA's Board of Representatives is no longer planning to vote today on the proposed CBA, a source said. Instead, the board and NFLPA Executive Committee hope to meet soon with the NFL Management Council Executive Committee and vote thereafter. So it seems like some negotiation is going to be taking place.
Yeah, they want to go back to the drawing board.
Before they
push for some more stuff.
Listen, I'll give you a couple of items again. Stop that $250,000 crap, okay? That doesn't fly. I need insurance that I'm not going to play. If we're going to go to 17 games and we're going to go to 19 weeks to play 17 games, no team's going to play a Thursday or a Sunday game followed by a Thursday game. I need that in writing. What else do I want to know what the floor is. Stop with this roster size thing. Don't show me a rise from 55 to 58 or 46 to 48 dressed on Sunday and think that
dress
this
them
is
all.
Huge.
Why can't I use an extra tackle?
All of this stuff. And look, these guys are right. The 2011 collective bargaining agreement was not a good one. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of most people that have looked at it in its totality. Wasn't very good. To be better isn't going to be a very hard thing. So this collective bargaining agreement to be, hey, this one's significantly better than 2011. Think about 2011. You know, the franchise tag is highlighted. You had no checks and balances on the commissioner, right? You were playing Sundays to Thursdays, and the revenue take wasn't significant, in my opinion. You can do better. I understand this because I was a rank-and-file player, okay? Nobody wants to strike. The average career is less than 4 years. You're not going to get, I don't believe, a group that is willing to sit. And that's the only way to enact real change. It's not going to happen. That's another prediction I'll give you. The players aren't going to strike because careers are too tenuous. They don't last long enough, and guys don't want to miss a paycheck. And I get it. But you also do have power. Use it to get the best deal you can get. And what's been proposed is obviously better than the crap you signed in 2011, but it can be better. And I think Allen Robinson told the guys today, Carm was telling me, he told them that lifetime health care is not going to be part of this deal regardless. And I think that's a shame because if somebody smarter than me put this earlier today, you're going to be, guys, NFL players, realize this. You're going to be former players a hell of a lot longer than you are current players. So please understand that while you think that you're making a ton of money and you are, and that you'll be able to save all of that, and hopefully you will, there may come a time when you aren't employed in your next stage of your life and you do need health insurance and you don't have access to it. And the league can finance this. So
of course
it's something that I wish that they would be more hot and bothered by. They're not going to be. That disappoints me a touch, but there are other things here I think that the players can ask for and get and still find a way to make a deal. I get it. Like, I see Ross Tucker and I see other people saying, hey, guys, this isn't horrible. I'm with you. It's not horrible, but it could be better.
Right.
And just because the 2011 agreement was bad doesn't mean incremental progress. We should all be standing on tables and cheering and high-fiving each other. I think that this is the most popular sport in the United States. Would you agree?
Yes, by far.
And by far the most financially rewarding for everyone involved. Why wouldn't you, if you're a player, demand some of the things that you're talking about? How about, you know, the roster? Like you said, rosters, 46 guys dressed on Sundays.
Why? Yeah. You have a roster of 53. Why not? Why can't I use all 53 players on my roster?
And who tells, who even comes to the bargaining table and says to you, here's the deal. If we implement a 17th week, we'll go up to a maximum. Your paycheck on that 17th week will be $250,000.
If you're signed, if you're already signed.
You've already undercut, who says that?
Yeah. Darren Revelle tweeted this earlier today. I've been covering sports labor for 20 years. This deal the NFL owners are putting forth might be the worst deal, with the exception of the deal the NHL players accepted in 05 after a year off. There's no way the NFLPA says yes to this. So it looks like they're going back to the table. But as Revelle tweeted later in the day, this is basically... it says, hearing NFL players are being told that there's not much negotiation here, that this is the deal the owners are presenting, and if they don't take it, it's a strike slash lockout next year. Billionaires are in a better position than millionaires. Do the players fold?
I don't agree that this is the worst deal that's ever been proposed, going back to the hockey deal. I think that people would tell you this one's significantly better than the deal that was signed in 2011. But where, unless I don't see the, I don't see any of the stuff that's protecting not playing Thursday after a Sunday. I don't see that.
For everything. You are in a position of leverage.
Until the new league year starts, because yes, they want the extra playoff team.
That's fine.
Implemented. So you have this little window. Yeah, you could try.
No, and listen, you know what ends up happening as you get closer and closer to that drop-down date? The owners become less willing, and actually the offer starts to shrink. So I get that. You have, if you want true, the word wouldn't be equality, but if you want an equitable deal, you're going to have to threaten sitting out. It's what the baseball players did. It's what didn't the basketball?
This is like when we were in freshman basketball or whatever, and we would have to run sprints. And we would bellyache about having to run sprints. He goes, oh, you don't like it? Now, instead of four back and forth, we're doing eight. That's what the NFL owners are going to say to these players. They're like freshman basketball players.
Well, here's the deal as well. I do believe that there's part of the television contract that the owners have, the teams have with the networks. I believe there's a provision in it that allows them still to be paid even if the game, the sport is on strike. I may be... You know how I'm usually pretty spot on strange things like this. I think that's the case. I don't think it's a full payment, but I think it's a proportionate payment that is then prorated going forward when a deal is corrected. So they obviously don't have nearly as much at stake. I'll tell you this, though. I mean, the owners know that for them to be as successful as they are, they have to have these players playing. They also know that these guys don't want to miss a paycheck. But I'm telling you, I mean, if the players were capable of getting together and striking, and it was a serious threat to the owners, they'd be a bit nervous. They're not nervous because they know it's not a legitimate strike.
Exactly.
It's not a legitimate possibility.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, ring it up, 312-332-3776. The bottom line that you need to know, too, about this deal, whether or not it gets approved today or whether they negotiate for some more, here's what I know is happening. 17 games are coming, and so is extra playoff teams. Whatever the players get, some people may care, some people may not. But the bottom line is there will be a 17-game schedule coming soon, and I believe next year there will be two extra playoff teams. So I also want to talk about snitches. Is Mike Fiers a snitch? And I think you'll be surprised on David Ross's stance on what the penalty should be for the Houston Astros. That's coming up in 2 minutes.